Today, sharing the Daf Yomi, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbaruch, we begin the final Masechta in Seder Moed, Masechta Chagiga. Masechta Chagiga is a very important Masechta that deals with a lot of Inyonim that will be Yerz Hashem, be coming to be Halach Lamaisa, B'mher B'yameinu, B'mashiach Tzidkenu's coming, and very important to learn these Halachos, and wonderful Masechta to learn. And we begin Be'ezus Hashem Yisbaruch on the very top of Beis Omid Aleph, with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us, Hakol Chayovim B'Riyah. Everybody is obligated in the midst of Riyah. And this is based upon the Pasuk, which it tells us, Shalosh Pomim Bashanah Yereh Kol Zuchucha El Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. We just read this in Parshas Mishpatim not a long while ago. And Rashi explains in the top Rashi over here, we just head back to our regular Rashis, no Ksiviyad Rashis. Regular Rashi tells us that B'mitzvah Suriyah, this concept of the Riyah that we just read the Pasuk of, Shetzrichim Hisuroz B'Azorah B'Regel. Every person, we'll see, Hakol Chayavim, who's included in this, every person is obligated to go and be seen in the Azorah by the Shlosh Regolim. In other words, an obligation to do Aliyah Saregel. Tosus says that Rashi, according to one interpretation, is only speaking about to be seen and not talking about the mitzvah, bringing in an olas riyah, a korban. And then that's the opinion of the Rabbeinu Elchanan in the top Tosos. However, he then brings down the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that Rashi also agrees that this is talking about the mitzvah, not only of being seen coming up to be ola rega, but to also bring the korban olas riyah. This is assuming that there are two separate mitzvahs to be seen as well as to bring the olas riyah. Not everybody agrees with that. The Rambam, for example, says that it's all one mitzvah, that there is no separate mitzvah to be seen and to bring a korban olas riyah. In any event, the Mishnah tells us that everybody, hakol, chayavim riyah, the Gemara will discuss who is coming to be included with the statement hakol, and it gives us exceptions, however. Hakol chayavim b'riyah, with the exception of the following list of people that all have either a physical problem or a halachic question as to whether they're males, because the pasuk says kol zuchurcha, and as we see through the list, we'll see what the problems are. So the following are not obligated. Misha says everybody else is. Hakol chayav b'riyah chutz. The following are not. These are the chutz. Mecheresh, a person, normally the definition of cheresh is normally somebody who cannot hear and cannot speak. He is both incapable of talking or listening. That's the simple understanding right now. The Gemara will ultimately change this. There'll be a chesuri mechsra. We're leaving out some things in the Mishnah. So right now we'll just learn this as a regular cheresh, a person who cannot speak and cannot talk. A shota, a person who's mentally incompetent. He doesn't have what we call, he's not a bar das. And a katan. A katan, by definition, no matter how smart he is, a 12-year-old boy is not considered a bar das. As that's what Rashi tells us in the Rashi, Dibra Maskel, Chutz v'chevi shota v'katan, the lad b'nei deya ninu. None of these three are bar das. They're not b'nei deya. And therefore, they're p'turim mikol mitzvah. They're p'turim from any mitzvah, including the mitzvah of either Riyah or the olas Riyah. The next in the list are those that have a status of not being zechurcha, of not being a vadai male. And that is v'tumtum. A tumtum is defined elsewhere as a person who has some sort of a membrane covering over the genitalia, and therefore you don't know whether this is a male or a female. In the Rashis that you find, or actually the Rashbam in Bava Basra, so it tells us there that he's in autumn, he's covered up in some way, enonikarbo lo zachus lo nakvus. You can't tell because of this membrane that's covering him up that he is male or female. It could be this tumtum is actually a male, this tumtum is actually a female, they're not all the same. As opposed to the androgynous, androgynous is a person who has both simoni nakvus ve zachrus. He has both, and that's what Rashbam in Bava Basra also tells us. So therefore, this androgynous is either a biri b'fnei atzmo, a separate entity that is both a male and female combined gender, or it has the status of being a male, but not a vadai male, or has the status of being a female, not a vadai female. In any event, it's not zuchurcha, and therefore there is no obligation for the tumtum and androgynous to be included in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. The next on the list is noshim, women. Clearly they're not zuchurcha. And the next on the list is Avodim She'enon Mishuchrorim. You're talking about an Eved Kenani that hasn't been freed. So he has mitzvos like a woman, and therefore he's not included in Zuchurcha, and therefore is exempt from also the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Next on the list will be people that are physically incapable of going up because of some disability that they have. So, for example, a chiger, person who is lame, he can't walk, he has a broken hip. Vasuma, person who's blind, can't go up on their own. Vacholet, nebuch, somebody who is sick, he physically is incapable of going, he has a bad case of COVID. Vazokin, somebody who's very elderly, they can't go up because they're physically infirm. And likewise, umisha any yochel alis reglo. Anybody that can't go up can't walk up. So somebody has a neurological disease, somebody has a stroke, rachmona litzlan, anybody that has a physical inability to go up to the harabayis, to go up to the azara, so they're all exempted from the mitzvah of riyah, because by definition, you have to be able to go up there, and all of these people cannot. So the categories here are basically three. The people that are not a bar das, and therefore they're potter from all the mitzvos. The people that aren't zohar, they're not male, and therefore they're not obligated, because this is called zuchurcha, all the males. And then the people that physically can't go, it's the shlosh regolim, darshan in the Gemara, they have to have the regal, they have to be able to physically go, and all the people that physically can't go because of some disability are excluded from the mitzvah of ri'iyah. That's the first section of the Mishnah. Now we can define a little bit more, and we say, Ezu Katan, what type of a Katan is not even Mechuyev Midirabonon? The Katan is not Mechuyev, obviously, Midiraisi, he's not a Bar Das, but the rabbis instituted a mitzvah of Chinuch. Rashi says over here, interestingly, that this mitzvah of Chinuch is on the mother, Minatorah, there is no Chiyev. Af Mishin Ochiyev Minatorah, Rashi says, Hitilu Chachamim, the rabbis instituted a mitzvah of Chinuch al Oviv v'al Imo, on the mother and on the father. So this is, according to everybody, on the father. So machlokis is to whether it applies to the mother. Here Rashi seems to say that the mitzvah chinuch applies to the mother as well. L'chanchol b'mitzvah, to teach this child to do the mitzvah. So the obligation is not on the child, neither rabbanan, the obligation is on the parents to teach the child. And therefore, what type of a katan is included in the mitzvah the rabbanan, as opposed to what type of a katan is not even included in the mitzvah neither rabbanan. So a child that has reached a certain age is included in the mitzvah the rabbanan chinuch, but the katan that's not yet reached that age, Beshami says that a katan who is so young, he's such a little baby, that he can't go up and ride on his father's shoulders to Yerushalayim, to go up to the Harabayis, to go up to the Azara. So, and this is from Yerushalayim, and certainly if it's from further away, if a person can go, even on the father's shoulders, so then, according to Beis Shammai, that person is excluded from the mitzvah, even midrabbanan, of chinuch. So a baby that can't ride on his father's shoulders, so such a young child, a baby, would be exempt from the mitzvah of riyah, even midrabbanan. When they reach a certain age, they can be carried on the father's shoulders, so then the father has an obligation, already midrabbanan, to be mechanech his child and bring him up to the azara. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel's more makel even. Beis Hillel omrim, you're exempt. Kol shein yochol lechos biyado shel aviv, v'lalos mishalayim laharabayis. Beis Hillel says, no, if you can carry someone on your shoulder, that may be a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, but if you can't walk on his own, it's too far to walk from Yerushalayim, and certainly to go from someplace else, even further than Yerushalayim, so then you're also exempt, because the mitzvah is shlosh regalim. Shneimar, the pasuk says shlosh regalim, and we play on the words regalim, which means three time periods, the three times that you have to go up, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, but we play on the word regalim, raglayim. You have to go up with your feet. And therefore, as Rashi tells us, haroi lalos biraglov chayev hakosov. Only somebody that can physically go with their own feet, and that's why we said before that all those people that were exempt, the chigur, the suma, the chola, the zokim, ishen yochol lalos biraglov, they're exempt on the rice level, and the rabbis therefore set it up that if the katan can't walk on his own feet, so then he's lav bar chinuchu, he's too young, and therefore there's not even a mitzvah midrabbanon of chinuch. So basically it's even more meiko to say that, let's say, a 6-year-old boy, a 7-year-old boy can't walk all the way on his own, so he would be exempt. As opposed to, he certainly can be carried on his father's shoulders, and Mishami would say in that situation it would be a chiyuv of chinuch on the father, and as Rashi says, possibly on the mother as well. Okay, now the Gemara says, Mishami yomrim, that the olas riyah, the korban, that's an olas riyah, that every person is obligated, who's obligated in the midst of riyah, is obligated to bring on the first day of the yontif, this olas riyah, korban olas kolu l'Hashem, it's totally brought to Hashem, it's no part that's eaten by a Kohen. The hide is given to the Kohanim of that Mishmar that are bringing the Olas Riyah for the Yom Tovim. All the Mishmaros were involved, and only an Ola goes to the Mishmar that's on. But for the Yom Tovim, all the Mishmaros worked, so therefore the Kohanim who brought that actual carbon Olas Riyah would be entitled to have the hide. So how much money do you have to spend on this? This is Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that you spend more money for Hashem and less money for yourself. Basically, Beis Hillel says you spend more money for yourself and less money for the pure carbon for Hashem. What do I mean by that? Beis Shammai Yomim Ha'olas Riyah Ha'Riyah. You have to bring a value at least of 2 kesef. How much is 2 kesef? So Rashi brings down that shtei kesef is shtei mos. Another term for kesef will be the silver coins are mos, and mos kesef. And two of these coins is a shlish of a dinar, a third of a dinar. A dinar has six of these mos, or six of these kesef in it, so therefore you have to bring a third of a dinar for your olas riya, as opposed to the chagiga, which is a shlamim, which is brought by the balim, also on the first day of the yontif, the chagiga, the korban chagiga, but that's eaten by the balim, as well as eaten by the kohanim, as well as part of it is sacrificed on the altar, on the Mizbeach. So that's one of the reasons why it's called the Shlomim, the Shalmei Chagiga, because it brings Shalom to everybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets a piece, so to say, the Kohanim get a piece, and the Balim get a piece. In any event, the Korban Chagiga is only half the price of the Olas Re'iyah. The Korban Chagiga can be brought with a Ma'a Kesef, a sixth of a dinar, whereas Beis Shammai says that the Olas Re'iyah has to be brought with two-thirds of a dinar, two Mos, two kesef. So it's twice as much that you have to spend on the Olas Riyah, according to Beis Shammai, that goes totally to Hashem, as opposed to the one that you get a piece of that you can spend less on, and that is a more kesef, half the amount for the Olas Riyah. Beis Hillel says, Pum Faket, the exact opposite. Beis Hillel says, no, the one that goes totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Mizbeach, that one you only have to spend a more kesef, a sixth of a dinar. Whereas the one that's eaten by people, including part of it giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chagiga, the Shalmei Chagiga, shtei kesef, that you have to spend twice as much on, two kesef, two mos, or a third of a dinar. So therefore, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a fundamental difference in the approach over here. Which one should you spend more money on, the one that's the Ola or the one that's the Shlomim? Both are obligatory. A person has, anybody that's obligated to bring the Shalmei Chagiga and the Olas Riyah, so these are the parameters Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue about as to how much they should cost at a minimum. Of course, you can always give more, but that's the minimum amount. Now the Gemara starts off and asks, we said Hakol Chayav Riyah. Now that word Hakol is extra. You should have just said that people are Chayav in the midst of Riyah, except, what is it, Hakol? Everybody is Chayav, so that's a Ribuy coming to be Marbe, somebody else. Who is it coming to be Marbe? Hakol Lasuye Mai. Who else is being included in this din in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says the word Hakol is coming to teach us Lasuye to add to the mitzvah Misha Chetzio Eved and the Chetzio Ben Chorin. A person who's half and half. Half of him was a Eved, and half of him is a free person. How does this happen? So he was originally owned, let's say, by Shutvim. He was owned by two people, and one of them, Reuven and Shimon, owned this Eved Kenani, and Reuven freed him, but Shimon did not. So he's half a free person, the half that Reuven freed, and the other half, he's still an Eved Kenani. That is the half that is owned by Shimon. So that is who the mitzvah says, that this person is also included in the mitzvah of Riyah, because the half of him that is a free person is obligated to go up and do the mitzvah of either Riyah or Olas Riyah or both. Now the Gemara says that doesn't seem to be correct, because we have an Amora in the Gemara, Ula Ravina, who's going to tell us, not in tomorrow's year, probably in 2 days year, in Dab Dalit, Ula Ravina, he holds that that's not true. He holds, Ravina holds, Yom HaMisha Chetzio Eved V'Chetzio Ben Chorin is actually Potter Min Ariyah. So then Hakol Asuya Mai, so according to Ravina, so what would our Mishnah be teaching? You can't say that Ravina disagrees with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Tanoic, and Ravina is an Amora. So there's no way that Ravina could be disagreeing with our Mishnah. So if Ravina says that a person who's Chetzio Eved V'Chetzio Ben Chorin is Potter from Riyah, so then the word Hakol in our Mishnah, according to Ravina, cannot include a person who's Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So therefore, according to Ravina, who does our Mishnah mean to include when it says Hakol Chayavim Beriyah, if it's not a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, because he says your potter? So the Gemara says, according to Ravina, our Mishnah, the word Hakol Chayavim is coming to include Lasuye Chiger Biyom Rishon. This is talking about a person who had a leg problem on the first day. Let's assume he had a stroke on the first day and he wasn't able to walk, but Baruch Hashem, it recuperated and he recovered. It was only a TIA, it was only a transient ischemic attack. So his stroke, Baruch Hashem, went away within 1 day, so therefore he's now able to walk. Baruch Hashem, second day he's able to walk. First day he couldn't walk. He was a chiger. He was lame. He was unable to walk. The second day, Baruch Hashem, he's able to walk. It healed. Whatever the problem was, the pain or whatever, he wasn't able to go the first day. Second day he could go. So that's what Ravina says is included. That person is also chayav in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, because albeit he couldn't go the first day, but he could go the second day. The second day is a mitzvah. He can't go the first day, you do it the second day. He can't go the second day, you do it the third day. You have the entire yontif for Pesach and Sukkos, and we had already taught previously the Tashlumin period of time for Shavuos. The 6 days afterwards are the Yimei Tashlumin, so the same din applies. If you can't bring it on the first day of either Pesach or Sukkos or Shavuos, then you bring it on the rest of the yontif for Pesach and Sukkos, and the remaining 6 days of Tashlumin by Shavuos. So therefore, that's what Rabbeinu must say, HaKol Chayavim comes to include. Gemara says, that's still a problem. That only works out if you hold like Hanichot, according to the Amora, L'man D'yarmar Kula Tashlumin Zeh L'Zeh. This is actually a Machlokis as well. When have on Daf Tes, Rashi brings down that Lekama and Amrino Epirkin on Daf Tes, we're going to have Sheish Lekarbonos Hachag Tashlum and Kozayin. Everybody agrees that you have 7 days to go bring these Karbonos of the Olas Ria and the Shalmei Chagiga. Because you can bring them on the first day of Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, or if you can't, as I just said, you can bring them afterwards, either the rest of Pesach, the rest of Sukkos, and for the Tashlumim for Shavuos, the other 6 days. The ifligu ba amaroi, but there's a machlokas amaroi. Rashi tells us on that test. Ikal man diomar, there's one man diomar says tashlumim ze lo ze. Ikal man diomar tashlumim derishon heim. What is this? Rashi is describing this machlokas on that test as to what is the understanding of the tashlumim. Do we say that the first day is the ikka mitzvah, and that's the whole mitzvah? And if you can't bring it the first day of either Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, then you're technically exempt, and there is no need for a tashlumim. Or do we say, no, the mitzvah is to bring it on the first day, but if you can't bring it on the first day, it's not a tashlumim of the first day, then the mitzvah is to bring it on the second day, then the mitzvah is to bring it on the third day, etc. You have 7 days to go bring it. So here's a fundamental difference between them. If you say, then in fact, every day is an obligation. So then we can understand how a person who was lame on the first day, but Baruch Hashem, Nispashi, became healthy on the second day, would be obligated in the Korban Olas Re'iyah and in the Korban Shalmei Chagigah or in the mitzvah of Re'iyah itself, because the person had an obligation on the second day. Just like he had an obligation on the first day, there's an obligation on the second day if you didn't do it the first day. There's an obligation on the third day if you didn't do it on the second day. A separate obligation. It's not a tashlumim for the first day. So Hani Chlaman Diyamar Kulan Tashlumim Zel Zed, that every one of those 7 days is an obligation. We understand why the Nispashi B'yom HaSheni guy is Chayef. However, Elaman the Amakul and Tashlum the Rishon, but according to the idea that the Chiv is the first day of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, period, and it's a Tashlumim for the first day. If you couldn't bring it on the first day, there was some technical reason you couldn't bring it, but you were obligated. So then, in that situation, you have to bring it the second day, third day, etc., all the way up till the seventh day. But according to this, the person who was a Chigar on the first day, so he was Potter from that Chiv, and therefore, now that he's despised the second day, that doesn't change around that he was potter from the first day, and such a person is not obligated to bring on the second day, and therefore this only works out to say that it's lasu yechiga b'yom rishon, despised b'yom sheni, only works out according to the man d'yomer that it's kulan tashlum zelazet, that each day itself is an obligation. But if you say that the first day was the ikar obligation, and the second, third, etc., are only to make up that you couldn't bring it the first day, somebody who was potter on the first day would not be obligated to go bring it then on the second day, even though he was despashing. So therefore, the kasha returns, who is Akol coming to include according to this opinion? I would point out this is a little bit analogous to a person who, he was unable to daven for whatever the reason, so then that person, he forgot to daven mincha. So it was a mistake. So he's allowed to daven two marvs as a tashlumin for the mincha. But if the person was, for example, in aninus, he had no obligation to daven then, so then there's no din of tashlumin. So if somebody was in aninus for shachris time, and then the burial occurred at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, well after the zman for shachris, so there's no chiyuv for him to go make up shachris. But, for example, if the person was buried earlier in the morning, and then for whatever the reason, the guy didn't get a chance to daven shachris, so then he would be obligated to make up shachris because he was a mechoyev badover at that time. So that's analogous over here. If you say that you are obligated only on the first day, so then the second day, even though you're in the spash day, there is no chiyuv, there wouldn't be no makeup, and then who is the hakol coming to include? So Gemara says, no, there's another category. It comes to include a person who's blind in only one eye. So he can see, but he's not totally blind. If he's totally blind, the Mishnah already said that such a person is exempt. But if you're blind in only one eye, then you're included. And where is this from? The lo ki aitana. It is opposed to the following Tanoic opinion. Now here we have a Tana arguing with the Mishnah. That's not a problem. The two previous cases were Amorayim arguing with the Mishnah. That can't be. Ravina can't argue with the Mishnah, so we have to find the Teretz. The Machlok is between the two Mandiyam is about Tashlumim, so they're Amorayim, so you can't say that they argue with the Mishnah. But here we can have another Tana that disagrees is our Mishnah. So our Mishnah has to tell us that Asuma B'Yachas Mi'enav is included, because there is another opinion, a Tanoic opinion, that says Asuma B'Yachas Mi'enav is not included. Udolo Kiyai Tana. What Tana is that? So the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa that Yochanan ben Dahavoy, Now, the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Yehuda, but in the Masoras HaShas, in Oz Zayin, it tells us this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. In any event, Yochanan ben Davoi says over the name of Yehuda ben Tema that Suma b'yachas me'enam is potter min Ariya. He disagrees with the Tana of our Mishnah. Our Tana at Sehakol to include this Suma b'yachas me'enam because Yochanan ben Davoi, in the name of Yehuda ben Tema, disagreed and said that the Suma b'yachas me'enam is potter min Ariya. Why is that? Because the Pasuk tells us, Shenemar, the Pasuk says that we just quoted before from Mishpatim, and it's also in this week's parsha in Kisisa, says Shalosh Pim Bashino Yireh Kol Zechucha Espnei Hadon Hashem Elokei Yisrael. That's why in this week's parsha it says Elokei Yisrael. In Mishpatim it didn't say the words Elokei Yisrael. Now we pronounce the word Yireh, which is the way that the Masorah is that we're supposed to pronounce it that way, but it could be spelled Yireh. So therefore we have this double meaning over here. Shenemar Yireh. It could be pronounced Yireh or it could be pronounced Yireh because the spelling is the same. And therefore, we have the following drosha. Kiderech shebo liros. Kaviyochel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to see Klal Yisrael doing the mitzvah of Aliyas Regel. Kach bo liros. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, the presence of the Shechina is to be seen by the people. So there's this combination over here of Yireh, the Kaviyochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to see us, and we, Kaviyochel, have to see the presence of the Shechina. Ma liros b'shtei einav, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, Kaviyochel, heshtei einav. It's a very strange usage, because one of the Ikarim of the Rambam, one of the 13 Midos of the Rambam, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no guf. So obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have eyes, he doesn't have one eye, he doesn't have two eyes, he doesn't have eyes. So therefore, what does this mean? So if you look in the Likutei Rashi that are found in many Gemaras, they quote from the Rashi in Sanhedrin, Daf Dalet, Mahu Roa Osecha Kishu Sholem. It's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complete. And what does that mean? That we have a pasuk from Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Einei Hashem Lokecha Bo Mereishis. And that pasuk seems to say, Einei Hashem Lokecha, the two eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a good. Very important for us to understand it. This is an anthropomorphism. There's a way for us to try to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so we use terminology that we're familiar with, but of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have eyes, but just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us shalem with both of his eyes, you can only be fulfilling the mitzvah of Re'iyah af liros b'shteinav, that a person must have two eyes. So this Tana, Rav Yochanan Davoi, in the name of Yehuda ben Tema, holds that you must have two eyes, and assume of b'yachas b'inav is potter, and the Tana of our Mishnah says, HaKol is coming to be lasuya, it's coming to include even a suma b'yachas b'inav. So that is the first teretz as to what the words HaKol is coming to include in our Mishnah. It's coming to include a Suma B'yachas Me'enav, as opposed to the other Tannaic opinion that we brought down in the Brisa, which doesn't include a Suma B'yachas Me'enav. They darshin Yireh Yireh, that a Suma is not included in the mitzvah, even if it's only Suma B'yachas Me'enav. Certainly a Suma with both eyes, everybody agrees, is not included. Alternatively, a second teretz, we can go back to the first suggestion that we wanted to make, that it's a Chetzu Eviv Chetzu Ben Chorin. Ravina seemed to disagree with that. He said, Chetzu Eviv Chetzu Ben Chorin is potter, so how could that be what HaKol is coming to include? So Gemara says, V'boi Yisayim, Liolam Kedam Rimei Kara, that it's coming to include a Chetzu Eviv and a Chetzu Ben Chorin in the mitzvah. The Kokash Lo Chod Ravina, that which the question, we said, how could Ravina argue with a Mishnah? So Gemara said, Lokasha. Kambi Mishnah Rishona, Kambi Mishnah Achrona. We have a famous rule, the Mishnah Lozozo Mimikoma. When Rebbe put down the Mishnayis, so sometimes there was a Mishnah that was ultimately changed, it was ultimately redacted, but Rebbe left it the way it was because Rebbe knew that Eis Lasos Hashem Heferu Sorosecha, that there was only a special dispensation to write down the Mishnayis, and every now and then Rebbe wants to remind us that we're not really supposed to be writing down the Mishnayis. Niskatnu Adoros, we could learn, we couldn't learn. If the Gemara wasn't written down, if the Mishnayos weren't written down, we'd be in a lot of trouble. We couldn't learn Shas by heart. Imagine doing the Daf Yomi by heart. It'd be very, very difficult for except Gedolei, Gedolei, Gedolei Yisrael. So therefore, Rebbe wrote it down. But he left the Mishnah the way it was originally written in many situations to remind us of this din that you're really not supposed to write it down. So we have a rule, Mishnah Lozozo Mimikoma. The Mishnah Rishona Lozozo Mimikoma. So this was the way the Mishnah was originally written, that a Chatzi Eved and the Chatzi Ben Chorin, according to Ravina, says that you are in fact potter. and only afterwards when Beis Hillel is moved to Beis Shammai, as we'll see, that they say that in fact the Chatzi Ben Chorim is obligated because you have to free the slave, the half of the slave, you have to free, you have to free him, so now he's included because he'll ultimately be freed, so he is included, and that's what the Mishnah later on, the Mishnah Achrona, comes to include the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorim, but Ravina, he was going by the Mishnah Rishona, which excluded him. And what is this? This not. As we learned in the Mishnah in Gittin, famous machlokas being Beishamai Beisela, where Beisela is moded to Beishamai. And that's the case of the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. So the Mishnah there tells us in Gittin, Misha Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, Ovi Disraba Yom Echad, Yes Asu Yom Echad, a person who had a status of being a half slave, half free person. Again, he was owned originally by Reuven and Shimon in a partnership, and Reuven frees him, but Shimon did not. So now, the part that was originally owned by Reuven is now free. So the person owns himself. But the part that's owned by Shimon, he still has to work for Shimon. So what does he do in this situation? Divrei Beisela, Beisela says that he works on Sunday for the Rebbe, for the Master, for Shimon, and he works on Monday for himself. Then on Tuesday he works for the Master, on Wednesday he works for himself, on Thursday he works for the Master, on Friday he works for himself. So therefore, that's the opinion of Beisela, that you leave him the way it is, you leave the status quo the way it is. He's a half Eved, half Ben Chorin, and you figure out the work. Amulet Beishamai, Beishamai tells him, but now we turn the first daf in Masechta Chagiga, we turn to Beis Amudeis, so that's great, Beisela, if you only are interested in Tikanti Misrabo. That's only if you want to make sure that Shimon gets his due. But that doesn't do much, Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel. Yes, Atzvalo Sikanta. You, the poor Eved, you haven't done him much of a favor because he's still a half Eved and a half Yid. And that is a terrible situation to be in. Why? What's the poor guy supposed to do about getting married? Lisa Shivcha, to let him marry a Shivcha Kinanis, and Yochli can't because the part of him that is a half free person, bas chorin in the yocho. The part of him that is half free is also to marry a shivcha. And Tosus points out, you can't go and sell yourself to be an Eved in that situation, and therefore you could marry a shivcha, so that's not a possibility. So, you haven't done much with this person in terms of allowing him to marry a shivcha. Oh, so let him marry a free woman, that's also not possible. Bas chorin, to marry this bas chorin is also not allowed in the yocho, because of the Eved part of him is also to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. Eved Kanani is not allowed to marry a Yiddish lady. So therefore, he has no choice. He can't marry a Shivcha. He can't marry a free girl. Oh, so don't let him get married. Nish Gefarluch. No, that is a big Gefarluch. Li Batel, Balo Nivra Olam, El Lepiri Rivya. The world was created for the purpose of procreation, to carry on the Masorah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Pasuk tells us, now this Pasuk, they don't bring down, Tosfos' old discussion, why they don't bring down the Pasuk from Chumash, but we bring down instead this Pasuk from Yeshaya, Shinemar, Lo Sohu Virah, Lo Shevis Yitzarah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't go and create the world in this situation to be empty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be populated by man. And therefore, there's a mitzvah, pruvu. And therefore, this poor Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorim, is stuck. He can't marry a Shivcha. He can't marry a Bas Chorin. And to say that he shouldn't get married at all and not engage in pruvu, that's also not possible. Ella. Therefore, Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, Ella mipnei tikkun ha'olam kofin esrabo v'oso so bechorim. So Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, therefore, we force Shimon, the master of the other half of this Eved, to go and free him. Now, he doesn't not get paid for it. He gives him freedom, but he gets paid when this Eved now becomes a free person. He says, oh, Shimon, a certain amount of money, he has to pay it back. But nevertheless, we force this Rabo, this Shimon, to go and free this Eved, half Ben Chorim, to make him a full Ben Chorim. And you'll get your money back for doing that. But we force him, Kovin, this Rabo, also so Ben Chorim, and the Kosid Loshtar, Chatzi Domov, and he writes him a document. Okay, so it was $100, $1,000, whatever it was. I owe you this money. And now, with this Shtar, he goes free. And the Chozru Beis Hillel Lahoros Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel said, Taki, you're right, Beis Shammai. We've only tikanti misrabo. We worked it out great for Shimon, but we didn't do much for the poor Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. So we make him a full Ben Chorin, and the Eved is okay, and the master is okay also, because Shimon got his money's worth. He got the value of his half Eved. It doesn't go to waste, and everybody's happy. So this is the Mishnah Achrona, that even Beis Hillel says that the person who's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorim, you're going to force him to become a full Ben Chorim, so therefore he is also included. Hakol is Lasuyin, this Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorim, and even Ravina would agree to this, because Ravina only said he's not obligated, that was by the Mishnah Rishona, before Beis Hillel changed their opinion. Okay, everything is good. Now we go back and discuss the Mishnah, where it said that those people that are not included in the mitzvah of Riyah, or Olas Riyah, or both, is Chutz Mecheir Rishot V'Katim V'Chuli. We give a whole list of people, The first group was those that are not a bardas. So the Gemara starts off and says, "Ktani cheresh." Cheresh was listed in cheresh shote v'katan for a reason. It's the hekesh over there. It's compared to the shote and the katan. So therefore, ktani cheresh dumi the shote v'katan to teach us that they all have the same ruling. Ma shote v'katan, just like a shote and a katan, delav bnei deya, they're not bardas. They're not mentally competent. So too over here, we're dealing over here with a type of a cheresh that is not mentally competent. Av cheresh delav bar deya hu. And what type of a cheresh is not a bardeya? The komashulon kidith not. And this goes in accord with the mission that we learned in Trumos, a number of other places as well. And it tells us there, cheresh, the general cheresh, shedibru chachom and mekomakom. Whenever we're talking about a cheresh in general, so it's somebody's she'en or shomei v'en medaber. He's both nebuch disabilities. He can't hear and he can't speak. And such a cheresh in those days was a lav bar das. There was no way to teach him. There was no way to make him understand. And that person had the status of being like a shota. He was a lav bar das. Implication being, however, ha-medaber, if he was able to speak, ve'eno shameya, but he wasn't able to hear, Rashi points out that such a cheresh, how could he speak? He was born able to hear. In Nebuch, then he had meningitis. Then he got some sort of an illness that took away his hearing. Until he learned how to speak, he was able to hear. And only afterwards did he become deaf. So such a person is a fully bar das. He's a full, mentally competent person. That is the person that is a lav bar das. But ha medaber v'eino shomea, somebody that can speak, albeit now he can't hear, or vice versa. Shomea, he can hear, but he had some sort of a problem. He had nebuch laryngeal cancer to take out his larynx, and he can't speak, but he can hear, so he's a full bar das, chayv. And these two people, the person who's just deaf but can speak, or the person who is can't speak but is not deaf, he can hear, both of them are obligated in re'iyah. The Gemara says, and this is perfectly in accord, Tanina Laha, the Tanna Rabbanan. This is perfectly in accord with what we learn in the following Brisa. Rashi points out that this Brisa that we're bringing down is being taught to us, Shabrisa Azos, Ikar, the Somcha Lev. To teach us this Brisa is correct because it accords with the Mishnah. Otherwise, why would we can't? There's a Brisa that accords with our Mishnah. So it's come to teach us this Brisa is correct. And this Brisa states, Beferish Hamadaber, the Eno Shomeya, Zocherish. If somebody can speak, but he is not able to hear, he is also called the cheresh, albeit not the typical cheresh, shedibru chacham mekom makom. So if somebody just has a deafness but can speak, he's also called the cheresh. And a shomeya, if somebody can hear, the eino medaber, but he can't speak, that's referred to as an elaim, zehu elaim. And both of these two, the one who has only one of the two disabilities, he can hear but he can't talk, or he can talk but he can't hear, both of these two, zeh v'zeh, harein kipichim chol deram, they're considered a fully intelligent bar das in regards to all mitzvos in the Torah, and therefore they would be obligated in the mitzvah of re'iyah. And the Gemara continues and tells us, "Umay de medaber eino shomea zeh cheresh." Where do we see that the one who can speak but just can't hear is also referred to as a cheresh, and the one that can't speak but can hear, shomea eino medaber zeh ilem? Where do we see that? So it's based upon the pasuk. This pasuk is from Tehillim, and it tells us the chsiv that David HaMelech says, "Vani kicheresh lo eshma." I'm like a person who is a cheresh who just can't hear, and I'm like uche ilem. I'm like a person who can't speak. Lo yiftach piv, they can't open his mouth. So you see clearly from this pasuk in Tehillim that a cheresh can sometimes refer to a person who just can't hear but can speak, and that an ilem is a person who can't speak but can hear. Alternatively, the word says, "Vibay yisaymo kidarmi inshe." We have a source for an elam. Why is an elam referred to as an elam? Because it's an otrikon for ishtakel milule. Kidarmi inshe, as people say, the word ishtakel milule is an otrikon, as Rashi points out over here, for the word elam. Ish is the e, and milule is the elam nital diburo. It's referring to somebody who can't speak but can hear. Okay, so that's the way we understand our Mishnah right now. That a person who is a full cheresh, in other words, he can't speak and he can't hear, he's potter from re'iyah. But a person who has one of the two disabilities, he, for example, can't hear, but he can't speak, or he can speak, but he can't hear, so they are chayev in the mitzvah of re'iyah. So therefore, the Gemara says, medaber v'eino shomeya, shomeya v'eino medaber, is chayev in the mitzvah of re'iyah, bringing the korban re'iyah or olas ragel. Gemara says, but that's not right. V'tanya, we learn in a braisa. Specifically, it states that that's not true. Now, you could argue the braisa argues with a mishnah, but we'd like to reconcile them, which we will. So, medaber v'eino shomeya, shomeya v'eino medaber, it says potter. The beferish, the braisa says that for the mitzvah of re'iyah, it is not applicable to a person with one of the two disabilities. If you can speak, but you can't hear, or if you can hear but you can't speak, you're also potter from Riya. That seems to contradict the way we just understood our Mishnah. So we reconcile it in the following way. Amar Ravina, others say Vitema Rava, it was either Ravina or Rava who gave the teretz as follows, that our Mishnah is Chichsuri Mechsu of Chogitani. Like I said, when we learned the Mishnah, we're going to now revise our understanding of what it meant, Cheresh Shote V'Katan, to include anybody with any sort of a disability in hearing or speaking. Not that you needed to have both. Chisuri Mechsu V'Chogitani, the Rebbe, when he wrote the Mishnahis, he left it specifically in this way, and he says, Hakol Chayavim Beria, that our Mishnah really should be understood as everybody who is obligated in both of the mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Riya, which again we said could be just having to appear in the Azara or to bring the Olas Riya, or possibly both, and in the mitzvah of Simcha. Simcha is the Shalmei Simcha that you're obligated to bring, and this includes the Shalmei Chagiga. There's a mitzvah to be Sameach, the Samachta B'Chagecha, and that includes eating Shlomim meat. So therefore you have a mitzvah of Shalmei Simcha, Shalmei Chagiga. Everybody's obligated in both of them, with the exception of Chutz Mecheresh Hamedaber Ve'eno Shomea. This is for the Cheresh that can speak, but he can't hear. One disability. Or the Shomea, the person who can hear, Ve'eno Medaber. They're not obligated in both, Re'iya and Simcha. Shepotu Min HaRe'iya. They're not obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iya, but they are obligated in the mitzvah of Shalmei Simcha, Shalmei Chagiga. V'yafo Pi Shepotu Min Re'iya. But these two, the one who's a cheresh, but he can speak, he can't hear, but he can speak, or the one who can speak, but he can't hear, afa pisha potu min ha-re'iyah, even though they are parted from the mitzvah of re'iyah, nevertheless, chayev b'simcha, they are chayev in simcha. So they're parted from only the mitzvah of re'iyah. So again, the chisuri mechsura is telling us that you're right, everybody is chayev in re'iyah and simcha, but those people that are unable to speak, albeit they can hear, or they're unable to hear, albeit they can speak, they are potter from Riya. They're not obligated in the Riya. Va'afu pisha potter min Riya, chayev b'simcha, but they are chayev in the Shalmei Simcha and the Shalmei Chagiga. But Nebuch, the person has both disabilities, v'she'eno lo shomei v'lo medaber, he's both deaf and he's unable to speak. Likewise, v'shota v'katan, and here also the shota and the katan, they're not considered bar das. Potter af min ha-simcha. Not only are they not obligated in Riya, they don't even have the obligation of Shalmei Simcha. Why is that? Because they're not a bardas. These three, the Cheresh, who's both disabilities, can't hear and can't speak, as well as the Shota, as well as the Katan, by definition, they're not Bali Deyaninu, they're not bardas, and hold up, we call them mitzos, omers with Torah. They're exempt from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, so they're also exempt from Riya and Shalmei Simcha. And I'll show you this is right, Tani Nami Hochi, because this was stated by Ravina or Rava, so there I'm a rhyme, and we have a Braisa to support it. Tani Nami Hochi, we have Tanoic source to support what they said. The Tana says, Braisa says, Hakol Chayom Riya V'Simcha, everybody's included in the mitzvah Riya V'Simcha, with the exception, Chutz Mecheresh Hamedaber Veino Shomea. The Cheresh, who is able to speak, albeit he can't hear, and Shomea, or he can hear, but Veino Medaber, he can't speak. That these are exactly as Ravina or Rava said, Petur Min Ariya, they are exempt from Riya, but even though they're exempt from the Riya, Vafa Pi Shapati Min Ariya, and we turn to Gimel of Aleph, even though they're parted from Riya, nevertheless, they're Chayeb Simcha, they're Chayeb the Shami Simcha, and the Shami Chagiga. As opposed to Rachmanu Litzlan, Deshe'enu Lo Shomev Lo Medaber, somebody Nebuch is unable to hear and is unable to speak. Likewise, Vishot V'Katan, these are all categories of people that are not Bar Das, so they're potter from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Peturim Af Min HaSimcha, and therefore they're also potter from Shalmei Simcha, Shalmei Chagiga, because, hold, Peturim Mikol Mitzos, Hamuris B'Torah, since they're exempt from any mitzvahs because they're not Balei Deya. They don't have mental status of being competent, and therefore they're potter from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, including both the Shalmei Simcha and certainly the Olas Riya and the whole concept of Riya. With this, we conclude our first day in learning this beautiful Masechta of Chagiga. It's Hashem. Encourage other people to join us as we finish off the last Masechta in Seder Moed. I would also use this opportunity to remind everybody when you'll be listening to this, if you're listening to it in Day of Daf Yomi, it is going to be this Friday, Mi'otz Hashem, February 11th. We have a very special Shabbos planned at the Young Israel of Woodmere. If you're in the neighborhood, please join us. We'll be celebrating the Siyum on the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program. And Matzah Shabbos, for those that are not able to walk but can drive Matzah Shabbos, we're having a special Siyum. I invite all my listeners to please join us for the Siyum at the Young Israel of Woodmere concluding a seven-year cycle almost of the Dirshu Mishnah Brura, 5 days a week learning a single daf in the Mishnah Brura with all the Nosei Kalim on the daf, as well as many of the Dirshu footnotes. Be'ezus Hashem, we're starting the new cycle on February 20th. For those that want to join, all of the shiurim are now available on OU Torah, as well for those that want a data stick that will have the entire Mishnah Brura on it, almost 2,000 shiurim. Please contact me or the OU. And again, I invite people to go and join us physically at the Malava Malka this Matzah Shabbos, February 12th at the Yom Gizul of Woodmere. Very nice program. It's a free Malava Malka. Love for my Talmidim, people that listen to my shiurim, to join us if they can, if they're in the neighborhood, or it will be available via live streaming as well. Please go to the OU website. Thank you very much for listening to this shiur, as well as any other shiurim that I give. It's Shem Shul Bizocha to learn together for many years to come.